when you talk about changing who you are, is you change who you are and then you allow the habits and the coaching and everything else to take place. But if you manipulate something that forces you to lose weight, but in your mindset, you're still the person who's overweight, well, then give it time.
Hey, I'm Jackie Kirshen, obsessed with all things sustainable weight loss, mindful eating, transforming minds, and empowering you. I'm a registered dietitian and mom who's lost 65 pounds and grew a successful coaching business helping other women do the same. Join me to learn tried and true weight loss secrets while healing your relationship with food and your body. You'll get unfiltered real talk, support, and some tough Jackie love as we dive into motherhood, mindset shift, entrepreneurship, and mastering this crazy thing called life. Think of this as your one-stop shop for a coffee date with your best friend, guide, and mentor mixed with weight loss coaching. Tune in to be challenged, encouraged, and laugh as we change lives together. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. Hey guys, welcome back to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. This is your host, Jackie, and I wanted to check in and see how are you doing? It is a few months into the new year, and I just wanted to check in. How are you feeling, and how are you feeling in terms of your progress towards your goals? If you are like, yep, that lasted about 6 days, this episode is for you. I am so excited to introduce you to Dr. Nathan Thompson, who is just probably somebody I could watch his videos on Instagram and TikTok all day. Not only are you going to hear about how he's pretty much almost banned from a lot of these social media platforms, but he is actually a chiropractor by trade, but essentially practices as a wellness doctor. So he's going to get into all of the things that are super important when it comes to like your overall well-being, his own health journey, and how he supported his wife, the really big catalyst that really like just got him into his health journey and in order to make those permanent changes. You'll talk about, you know, consistency and habit formation, like, you know, all the time, but really this discussion dives deeper into that and how motivation is not necessary. Yep, I said it. Motivation is not necessary. We talked about having a coach and a community, how that is so supportive and really, really significant in anyone's journey. We talked about the limitations in healthcare system, as I am from a bariatric space, and that's how I started my journey. And he also talked about all of the holes in our healthcare system. And you are also going to learn about his stance on some of these people on social media when it comes to fear mongering and influencers talking about, you know, really extreme, you know, dietary views and things like that. People spreading misinformation and all of that kind of stuff. And just his stance when it comes to, you know, really what are the things that we should be putting into our bodies and what are the things that we should probably be limiting. And just how he overcame depression and really turned his life around. So I am so excited to share this conversation with you because it is really, really, really important that people understand when it comes to making permanent changes in their health and weight loss journey, it really has to do with what's between the ears. So I am so excited for you to dive into this episode and let's get to it. And welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show, Dr. Nathan Thompson. We were just talking right before this. I wish it was recording. How he is essentially, you know, almost being banned from YouTube and TikTok because he speaks the truth. And that's why he is here. So welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show.
Hi, Jacqueline. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's so good. We did. I remember when we did our Instagram live. By the way, you can call me Jackie. Jacqueline, if you're mad at me. I always think of like my mom when she's like really upset with me, like Jacqueline Brittany.
Don't tell me your middle name because that means you're really in trouble then.
Yeah, right. Do you do that to your kids?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so I remember when we were doing our Instagram live and we were talking all things Ozempic and weight loss drugs. Yeah. And I cannot tell you how many DMs I got from people and be like, oh my God, that guy, when he talks, it like makes sense. And I was like, yeah, that's why I did that. So I was like, all right, you're coming on the podcast. So why don't you tell our listeners, for those that weren't, you know, a part of our live, a little bit of who you are and why you're here.
Tell me who I am. That's tough. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I will say this. So by education, I'm a chiropractor. And then how I practice is as a wellness way doctor. And a lot of people are like, what on earth is a wellness way doctor? And I'm like, with a wellness way doctor, basically we think differently in order to solve problems that others haven't. And so that's why when we solve problems or we get people well, people are like, how on earth did that happen? Is because in order to get you well, many times it takes a different perspective. And if you look at medicine, and in fact, it's probably one of the reasons why I get banned off of TikTok too, because I'll take on some people who violently disagree with me. And I'll say, here's why that doesn't make sense. And it's a reductionist approach. And it's do this for that. So if you have a lab marker that says this, then you just need to take this med or even take this supplement and it's going to fix all your problems. But you also have to understand that the body is a lot more complex than that, that you have to take in mental stress. You have to take in chemical stressors. You have to take in physical stressors, look at it all together and say, how does this body work as a Swiss watch? And it's not just a this for that. The body, all the organ systems work together as a Swiss watch. And so that's why we look at things so much differently. So So by a chiropractor by trade, but then exclusively what I do now is just as a wellness way doctor. So basically what do? I look at labs, I meet with patients, and I study. That's basically all I do. Sometimes I work out too. And I have a family. But that's literally what I did, you know? And so today I had, 9 consults, with people looking at their labs, going over with them. And so we do it on a one-on-one basis. And I love doing that because we get to help solve problems that other people can't. That's what I love, that's what I love doing. That's how I got here. And one of the ways I got here too, when people ask, how did you get into this? Why did you get so deep into what you do? And I said, well, I had to. I'm like, what do you mean you had to? Most of what we do in our profession, we do it because something changed in us, something changed our life. And so when you say, hey, I had to, as because, 5 years ago, my wife got super sick with autoimmunity, Hashimoto's, severe anemia, lupus. And at that point, I was like, I don't know what to do other than eat right, maybe, and get more sleep. And I knew how to do that at a basic level, but I didn't know how to get into it at a very, very high level. And with that and helping my wife get better, that's what kind of inspired me to start helping a lot more people. And in fact, my wife got so much better that, 8 months ago, we had our 4th child. His name is Elias. And a complete whoops moment. But if she had never gotten better, she never would have gotten pregnant. She wouldn't have had the fertility that she had at that point. So now we have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 8-month-old. And yes, people do laugh at me because they call me Grandpa Dad, and things like that. So.
Oh my God. I had questions that I wanted to ask you. And now those are totally out the window because you just dropped so many things that I am what? Okay. So first of all, I think that's beautiful. And I mean, that's how I got here as well. I went through my own 65-pound weight loss journey. Then I struggled with my own eating disorder. And was just the thing that I always love, and my clients are always just like, how are you in my head? I'm like, I literally am you. I was you. I get it. I feel you. So the fact that you feel it to your core of you helped your wife. Did you go through any journey yourself, or it really stemmed from supporting your wife?
I did too. And in fact, one of the reasons why I, even backing up even further, why I had gotten so passionate, into the health and wellness sphere was, and in fact, if someone said, who is your ideal patient or who's your ideal avatar? You probably have that. You're saying, I want to see women who are kind of like me, who have gone through these struggles. It really makes me passionate. And someone said, what makes you passionate? I'm like, well, okay, 85% of my patients are women and I love taking care of them. I love taking, but I'm like, what really does fire me up is seeing a man who was like me about 13, 14 years ago. So 13, 14 years ago, I remember getting my life insurance test and they come back and they're like, yeah, you're going to pay a really high rate for your life insurance. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm 31 years of age. And they're like, no, you're pre-diabetic, you have high cholesterol, and you're a high heart attack risk.
What?
And I'm like, there's no way that that's happening. Well, if you had seen me, you know, when I was 31 or 32 years of age, you'd be like, yeah, you are. And I was just lying to myself because, quite honestly, I was fat. I really was. You know, there's no way to say it because I was lazy too, but I was busy. That's the problem, you know, and we were having kids. I was just starting a business and I just, everything went on the back burner and I wasn't eating well. I was super stressed. I didn't drink alcohol, but I would drink a six pack of Coke at night. You know, I knew I was not doing the right things, but I was like, you know, one day I'm going to do it, but I got time. And what kind of woke me up was the fact that, I flunked my life insurance test. I'm like, this is absolutely terrible. And I was a metabolic syndrome, overweight, not working out. And you thought I would change. You're like, oh, that's a wake up call. I'm like, no, it still wasn't. I didn't change. But what got me to change was my dad getting diagnosed with colon cancer, advanced colon cancer. And I remember looking at my dad in the hospital and I looked at him and just how bad he looked. And he was my hero. And I'm like, that's me. And here I am making all the excuses not to change. And I'm going to stress my kids out so much if I put myself knowingly in that situation. I don't want to do that to my kids. And so I literally changed overnight. Like the results didn't happen overnight, but my mindset changed overnight. I was already that person in my mind and it just took time in order for the results to start to catch up. So when I started doing that, you know, and I said, I'm going to start working out at 5:30 every morning. It was an awesome idea until the first day I actually had to wake up and do it. And I had to force myself to do it. But I ended up losing like 40 pounds in about 2.5 months.
What?
And I never, ever looked back after that. I did have some other health issues, you know, as well. And that the Wellness Way approach has helped me tremendously. But I just made a decision. And, you know, and at that, it's probably the biggest thing as a nutritionist, how many people lose weight and put it back on?
Yeah.
And I never have. And it's been who I am for, you know, the last 12 or 13 years at that point. So,
oh, you just said something that is literally like touching my heart because I talk about it with my ladies inside Mindful Weight Loss Academy all the time. If you guys are listening to my clients, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Who you said it is who I am. And I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
You need, and people probably listening to this podcast are like, Jackie, we get it. I'm like, no, you really don't. Like you need to become. And so I feel like I had that same unlock when I was diagnosed with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and pre-diabetes at 19. Yeah. I was at Emory and I was like, my doctor was like, how many drinks are you having? I was like, I mean, I'm in college, but I'm not drinking that much. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
But so the difference was from age 12 to 19, my parents took me to Weight Watchers. My doctors called me like my parents, like it was more of like a forced approach when this was like, you have a decision. You're either going down that way or you're going down that way. You are the one that gets to make the decision. And I went down, thank fucking Lord, the right way. So to me, I get that. But my question is, do you have to hit that rock bottom? Do you have to flunk your life insurance test? Do you have to have prediabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease for someone to make that change, to become that person?
You don't.
Good.
But unfortunately, human behavior, human psyche, yes, you do. Well, I would say this. The people who do make permanent change many times are at rock bottom. I've talked about this a lot is because I've been fascinated with what makes a person change their behavior. Because if you don't change who you are, it's kind of like trying to hammer in a round peg into a square hole.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you hit hard enough, you may get some of it in, but it's never, ever going to fit. Change actually becomes so much easier when you change who you are. And the people who do, like I did, like hit rock bottom and I was like, you know what? I was offended. Actually, what made me to change, I was offended. And that's why people say, sometimes you say offensive things. I'm like, good. Because no one ever changes unless they're first offended. So what I mean by offended is it's like that Bounty paper towel commercial in which, you know, they're like, how many, what does it take in order to make the Bounty paper towel tear? And they keep adding the pool balls or something, you know, to it. And then finally it tears. And it's like, it may not be rock bottom, but forever, whatever it is for a person, it's where they reach that point where the paper towel tears. And that's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Sometimes people can be faced with one of the worst diagnoses. You know, they might have cancer and you say, you need to be eating differently. And they're like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
To some people, it may be, I can't go up the stairs anymore. That might be their breaking point. So everybody does have a different breaking point, but waking up and saying, it's New Year's Day and I'm going to change my life just for the sake of changing their life. I'm like, all right, I'll give you 6 days.
Yeah, I know. I feel like every time it gets shorter and shorter. Like we gave him till February. Now it's like 12 days. Now it's four. Yeah. And so actually speaking of all of these days, so I talk a lot about habits as we're talking about becoming that person. And so when people come into my program, they're like shocked because they're like, okay, this is like not just like calorie deficit. This is like, oh my God, like I need to work on like my thoughts. And I'm like, yeah, because that is... So I talk a lot obsessed with James Clear, and I really love the idea of identity-based outcomes and really like how to change your habits. Because I think that's how you and I both were able to wake up, because I was the same too. I went from like eating shit to all of a sudden like nourishing myself. I went from not moving my body to I went from the elliptical, then running, and like so... It was that overnight. I am a type A perfectionist, so it was kind of easier for me to do it. but which I can tell you are also like very strong. And so when it comes to habits, I mean, again, New Year's, like you said, I'm giving you 6 days. I'm going to start on Monday. Oh, it's whole 30. I'm going to do it in 30 days or 75 hard. Like, how do people actually change their habits to stick?
Well, because when people ask me like, well, how do you do it? Like, for example, if you take in the realm of fitness, I work out 5 days a week. That's like a non-negotiable. Like, no, you're not going to take that away. Come hell or high water, I'm going to get it done. But it's also, I'm not walking 5 days a week. I'm doing very vigorous, you know, type exercise, sometimes to my detriment.
I know. I see your videos and how funny you are.
so you know, some of them are like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I will always overdo it versus under. I would rather get hurt exploring my boundaries than to get hurt being inactive. That's kind of always what I always say.
Ooh, that's a Twitter quote right there.
Yeah.
Make sure you take that.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that down. But when they say it, well, how do you keep doing it? Because I hate it. I hate this stuff. And I'm like, okay, it's not like I'm looking in the mirror every morning and playing the Rocky theme song, getting myself pumped up and jacked up. I was really excited to change. You know, I remember going down the elevator at Rush Hospital in Chicago after seeing my dad and crying and saying like, I can't believe that I'm just knowingly wrecking my life and I'm okay with it. And I know the stress I'm going to cause to my family and I'll never achieve my purpose. And I was so motivated for the next 3 days until Monday came when I said, I'm going to head to the gym. And then the alarm went off at 5:30. And then I said, I don't want to go. I didn't have that inspiration or that motivation anymore. That's why motivation is so stupid. Anybody who posts motivational quotes, I'm like, you can post it when you've actually done something motivational. You know what gets things done? Just consistency. So you can trick yourself for 7 days and then the motivation, the feeling wears off. And it's just saying, I'm going to have the rock hard mentality of saying, come hell or high water, I'm getting this done. Until the point it becomes a habit. That's what I did for 8 weeks because I started, I'm like, I'm going to do CrossFit and I'm going to do it at 5:30 in the morning. And I was doing it on maybe 5.5, 6 hours of sleep. And I didn't want to do it. I had to run to the bathroom and pour cold water all over my head just to wake myself up. And I remember getting in the car. I'm like, I should really just turn around, just go back to bed. It would be so much easier. I did that every day for literally 8 weeks, 5 days a week. And But then all of a sudden something happened. I did it consistent enough where it just became a habit. I felt more uncomfortable not doing it than doing it.
Ooh.
And I tell people, you just need to do it long enough until it becomes a habit. We're creatures of habits. You have bad habits right now. You'll always have habits. So take the bad ones, turn them into good ones, and then your life will be better for it. So that's why you take the emotional component out of it. Because now if I say, I don't really want to work out, but if I didn't do that, I would feel worse in my head than if I was actually doing it. So people think you have to be inspired. You have to be motivated to do something long-term. Like, no, you don't. You need to do it for at least 6 to 8 weeks until it becomes a habit. And then you just shut your brain off. And then now you have new habits.
Well,
and people quit. Yeah. They quit before it becomes a habit. And it's like that meme that you've seen where they're like digging, like someone's digging for gold and they're like literally an inch away and they turn around and give up. And I'm like, so many people quit before, you know, and they're so close. They're so close.
I think that's so true. And whenever I tell people that, they usually like on their application will be like, I have no willpower, discipline, motivation. If I see those three words, I'm like, that is jargon. Like that is like, I really do believe, I think we both believe that the more you do it, the more motivation you'll have, the more you kept working out, like the easier it got and the more you wanted to do it. So I love that reframe of, I didn't feel comfortable not doing it like that. So, I mean, it is easier said than done. You and I, we can talk about it because we've been through it. We're on the other side. It's just second nature. But for those that are at that 7 weeks and 6 days, and they're so close, do you think the importance of coaching and community and support, like, How did that play into your story? Because I know that was really big for me. I had a nutritionist I was working with. So I will say, I would not be here if it weren't for her. And it was through all, I worked with her for 5 years during weight loss, during eating disorder. Like it was so, so important to have a person to talk to about all this. So is that something that you think is important, a part of people's journeys? Did you have that?
Yeah, I think it's super important is the idea of community, the idea of personal accountability. Did I have someone? No, but I knew enough about nutrition to know what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing and it'll be able to do that. I did have a coach when it came to exercise and I knew that I had to show up every single day. Yeah. But I think in the idea of nutrition, I think it is so important to have a community and I really do think it's so important to have someone who is going to coach you through. I think it's huge. And where you're filling the gap is you're filling the gap with someone who's going to the doctor, for example, and the doctor, honestly, their training on nutrition is horrible. Their training on fitness is just as bad. And they're looking at a person and they're saying, yeah, here's all your fires and go ahead and go on these medications. They're like, but I want, can I help? Can this be help with diet and exercise? Yeah, it can. But you know what? You probably won't do it.
Yeah.
So here's a medication instead. Or they'll say, I'll give you 3 months. And if you don't get it better, you're going to have to go on that medication. And they're like, well, can you teach me? And they're like, no, insurance doesn't pay for it. And I don't have time.
It's so
in fact, the insurance system won't reimburse a doctor for sitting down and talking about nutrition. And so they're saying diet and exercise and people are coming to say, well, I have no idea where to start. Okay, great. Then go to a nutritionist, a registered dietitian and start there and be accountable to that person. That is so important. Then on top of that, and in fact, why exercise is important too, is to get involved in a community of people who are suffering together. That's why for me, I chose CrossFit. It changed my life so much that my wife and I, we opened up 2 gyms at one point. We had like 2 gym locations, CrossFit gym locations, and it was awesome, wonderful, super stressful, you know, and whatnot. But it literally people coming in and they're saying, I had no place to go, or I was going to the gym and just walking around without any kind of purpose. And I came in and I saw what was possible and I saw people suffering with me and I knew it was okay. And it became a community to them. Community is what changes people's lives. Some people are like, I can do it on my own. And I'm like, no, you want to do it on your own because you want to fail by yourself. You don't want anybody to know. And the people who say, I'm going to do it with people, I'm going to do it with my community, those are the people that are going to say, hey, I'm not going to fail. Like, people don't want to fail in front of people. And that's why a lot of people are like, I'll do it by myself, I can figure this out. I'm like, no, you want to fail by yourself. And so hugely important, being part of a community. The more that you can be a part of a community, more things that are going to impact and improve your health, mentally, physically, spiritually, get involved with.
I mean, can you come write my content for me for the next talk? it's literally what I say all the time. And it's, you know what? People are so scared to give up their money, and people who pay attention. And to me, yeah. I think coming also from, I love that you touched on this, because I come from a bariatric background. I was a head dietitian for a very well-renowned surgeon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a dietitian on staff. Hi. But I mean, it was all here's some fenfen. Here's semaglutides, yeah, like we talked about. And I had 30 minutes. And in the 30 minutes of the 16 people I saw a day, 5 to 10 minutes was putting them on the scale, taking their shoes off, going in the bathroom, this and that. By the time we chit chat, then I had 15 minutes. How am I supposed to help you and change your life? And then insurance, yeah, won't pay for this, or insurance, yeah, won't cover this, but they will cover cutting and pulling out 75% of your stomach so you, yeah, can come back for another surgery and another surgery. I just, yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, they're setting you up to fail, but they're saying, well, we tried. And that's what's just so terrible with so much of healthcare today, is they're saying, well, we're just going to set these people up to fail, ultimately letting them fail so that we can say, hey, you know, here's your other alternative. Let's reroute your stomach, you know, or let's put you on semaglutide, which, by the way, now I saw that they're looking for test subjects of preteens and teens who are obese,
no,
or just overweight.
No.
And
no,
it's a 2.5 year study that they're looking at it now. So yeah, it is. I have a video archived getting ready. So watch Instagram or watch TikTok. Yes, I had to get a different account. I don't have very many followers on there, but yeah, so they're doing a study because now they want to see how this plays into weight loss in children, which is, I mean, it's incredible. Now, you know, the older that you get, and it's as your metabolic system gets beat up and your liver enzymes get beat up, you know, things like that, it can become, the more beat up you get, the harder it is to lose weight. But kids who are so metabolically young, they should have no problems or issues losing weight. And, you know, and I just see all of the problems with it, because I guarantee this, they want desperately to, in order to bring this to market as a new cash cow. But then on top of that, you're not going to see kids who are obese. You're going to see girls who are consider themselves overweight. And yeah, it's just, I just look at this as the, you know, the creepy guy in the white windowless van who's asking them, you know, do you want candy? You know, it just seems so creepy for me that we're not doing this. But when I looked at the study, one of the things that they're saying is once a week, we're going to do nutritional training, you know, with the parents and the kids on how to make nutritional choices, how to exercise. And I just look at that and I'm like, that's going to be the biggest joke in the world. It's kind of like saying, we're going to give you the answer of weight loss by, you know, doing a GLP-1 agonist like semaglutide or Wegovy or Mounjaro. And people are going to say, well, that's my answer. I don't need any of this, you know, Jimmy Jam with nutritional counseling or exercise or things like that. And I just, you can't even believe they won't even bring it to the kids. And that's why you've seen that aspect of it, you know, in medicine, where it's like, you were just set up to fail. It's just lip service. You know, and what's interesting is after bariatric surgery, what's the nutrition that they put them on? They put them on a 500 calorie diet, usually of liquid of like,
yeah,
like, you know, some kind of like glamorous whey protein, you know, mixture and whatnot. And that actually is the reason why they lose weight, because physically they can't have more than 500 calories. I'm like, for $35,000, you should send them to Malibu on the beach, just lock them in a beach house and just give them two protein shakes for the next month.
And at least they'll be in the sun.
Like. And they would actually be getting vitamin D, you know, in the process. And then, you know, now they do that and then they need a revision at, you know, however many years. I just talked to someone. She's like, I have four friends who had gastric bypass surgery. They've all had revisions. They've all failed at some point.
Hey, San Diego foodies. Let me tell you about my latest obsession, Pita 22 in Carmel Valley. It's not your average Israeli restaurant. It's a flavor paradise tailored perfectly for your taste buds and health goals. Imagine Mediterranean dishes crafted from scratch with love and fresh, healthy ingredients, no sneaky artificial additives. From homemade pitas to labneh and even tomato sauce, there are no shortcuts taken here. And their menu is a dream for everyone. Vegetarian delights like house-made falafel and crispy cauliflower with tahini, which is my absolute favorite. They also have family-friendly favorites like chicken schnitzel, which my daughter Olivia loves, and the softest homemade pita bread you'll ever taste. I've spent 11 summers in Israel, and trust me, this is the best Mediterranean food. And here's the best part. As a Mindful Nutritionist Show listener, when you head on over to Pita 22 and use the code MINDFUL, you'll get a free hummus. Yup, that is a special treat just for us podcast listeners. So whether you're in for a hearty grilled kebab or a delicious weekend breakfast like shakshuka, Pita 22 has got you covered. I'm a regular, the flavors never disappoint, and perfectly complement your wellness journey. So join me at Pita 22, indulge in fantastic flavors, and remember to use the code MINDFUL for that free hummus, and I can't wait to see you there.
It's so sad. I'm very conscious of, you know, the stories that I tell, but I never like to filter them. So there is someone who has, first of all, I'll never forget one of my first patients that I ever had was back for his third round of bypass. And I was like, how, like, I don't understand how you do a Roux-en-Y three times, but I do know someone, you know, with having had bypass and having kept it off, but of course, then it came back. And now is on semaglutide, GLP. And I'm just like, okay, can we just look at the picture and say, maybe if we did an intervention on the habits and on the lifestyle, that we wouldn't have got, like, your body is going through so much. So I understand that the medical system is broken, but like you and I, we can't change it single-handedly. There's obviously lots of other like healthcare professionals that feel the way that we do, but how did we get here and how do we make a change?
How did we get here? we got into this point, you know, and that's why when you see it failed, I'm on a revision or now I'm on this or that. I look at it like a thermostat, you know. Everybody has a point where they say, this is now unacceptable. So if something changes in me, I'm like, no, my thermostat's is triggered and I need to reverse, you know, something. So when people say, well, if you lose weight, how do you keep it off? And I'm saying, you change your thermostat. So if someone is 350 pounds, and they're saying, hey, we're going to give you a bypass, and they go down to 200. Well, the reason why they go up to 350 is because to them, their thermostat's at 350. That was who they still believe that they are. And that's why when you talk about changing who you are, is you change who you are, and then you allow the habits and the coaching and everything else to take place. But if you manipulate something that forces you to lose weight, but in your mindset, you're still the person who's overweight, well, then give it time and you're going to let yourself get back up to that point. You never change the thermostat. That's human behavior. When they say, you know, you get what you deserve, I say, no, you get what you tolerate. And so the reason why people tolerate that is because they still believe that they're a sick, overweight, fat person.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but that's what the truth is. And you can cut things out and you can manipulate with medication all you want. But if you still believe this in here, then take away the medication, take away the manipulation, and you will just gravitate back to where it was. So how did we get here? Part of the reason why we got here is because there's no personal accountability anymore. You can't, you know, and I'm like the ultimate personal accountability. You know, like if someone, my neighbor ran over someone else's dog, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to make sure that's not going to happen again. But so many people want to blame 100% of everything on something else. And then, oh, it's 100%, it's genetic. And I'm like, I don't care if it's 99% genetic, which it's not. But if it's 99% genetic, I say, I'm going to take 100% responsibility for that 1%. Because I know that I can move the needle 1%. And to me, that's going to be enough. But they've tricked us into thinking everything's genetic. There's nothing that you can do. You're not powerful. You're not strong. You're weak. And we will be your savior. So personal accountability has just gone by the wayside. And we haven't even talked about the idea of hyper palatable, caloric dense foods and how they're wrecking our taste buds, and how now we need everything to be sweet, and how no one likes, you know, bitter anymore, you know, and things like that. And that's why sometimes for people, I'm like, hey, can you just choose single ingredient foods? And they're like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, just choose single ingredient foods, you know, like just for now, you know, this, yeah, start having meat, veggies and fruit. Can you at least do that? And I'm like, wow, that seems like really simple. I'm like, well, sometimes it works the best.
It is. Well, now that you brought this up, because now I can actually ask one of the questions I really wanted to ask you.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many questions, but I won't name names, but you and I are, you know, on social media and we are trying to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
There are other people on social media. I don't know what fight they're fighting, but I don't think it's the good fight, that are fear-mongering and really telling major platforms and obviously promoting their products and getting paid for a lot of these things. People that are like, spinach is bad, plants mm-hmm. are bad, eat, you know, beef lard and, you know, tallow and make your own homemade sunscreen. And so there's a yep. few people out here and I'm just like, do you want them to eat air? And like, do you think it's realistic for them to live this lavish lifestyle where you can pay $19.99 for eggs? Like, so where do you stand where people are like, the oats is bad, do not mm-hmm. eat oats? And I'm just like, how are we starting our content with those types of things? So where is your stance on kind of some of these fear-mongering influencers or people saying, again, like, you know, there's so many, just some of the crazy things, like who calls spinach bad? Like who calls oats bad?
Yeah. So I think that I've seen both on both sides, and it's a very passionate discussion on both sides, believe me. And I've been in the middle of it. You should see some videos that I have been stitched with. So, like, here's the thing, because I know that when you're talking about oats and spinach and stuff, you know, you're talking about Carnivore MD, you know, Paul Saladino, he has some great arguments on certain things, but I don't agree necessarily with everything that he has to say. Do I think that spinach is bad? No. Now, I will say, are oats bad? I will say yes, for some people, and it's not for the reason why he says that it is. See, when people say, how do you know what you should be eating? And so if you watch a lot of the content that we talk about is, you know, when we talk about the digestive process, how there needs to be sufficient stomach acid, what happens when there is insufficient breakdown of food, what happens with the stress response, and how people can develop immune reactions to certain food proteins. And it's not that the food in itself is bad. It's that the exposure to the immune system by that certain protein can then become bad, can cause histamine responses that involve the digestive process, brain health, joint pain, things like that. Some of the times it can be oats, but it's not because it's oats. It's because, and that's why kale, people can have a histamine response to kale, and it's not kale, it's the response to it. So is kale healthy? Yes, but it can be detrimental to certain people. And so the problem is that, anybody who promotes a single, like, this is my diet, I run away from.
Yeah.
Because I have put people that mostly carnivore And it has actually to do with a lot of the testing that we do. I'm like, you really do need to be mostly carnivore. I'm sorry, you know. And then there's been other people, I'm like, you really need to be mostly vegan. And there's been people that are in the middle. But I think some of the people who are saying, who are doing fear mongering, I don't know if they're saying, they're like, who can I trick today? I think they might be well-meaning, but they lack clinical knowledge. A lot of people do lack clinical knowledge as far as what they truly are talking about. And so I tend to roll my eyes, anybody who gives absolutes when it comes to nutrition. And a lot of, and that's why when they say, who do you work with? I'm like, I work with individual people because
it's bio-individual. It is.
Yeah. Because, you know, I used to 7-8 years ago, we would do challenges and have 40 to 50 people and give kind of general ideas. And the thing was that it worked for some people, but not all.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy with that. And I did actually get to the point where I'm like, if I don't know that I can't help all people, then I really feel like I'm doing a disservice. And the thing I think that my beef with a lot of these people, influencers on social media, is that they know that they're not going to help all people. They know that they're going to have a great business if they can help 10% of the people. That's it. And in fact, I mean, I know personally someone who has a very, very, very large supplement industry. You know, we're talking 100 million a year, you know, that it does. And I know that he gave it up. And that's for that reason. He said, I just got tired of not helping people on a personal level. So that's my, I think my beef. I don't know that they're all trying to like, I just think that they don't know.
Yeah. No.
And that's why I'm always like, I would always love to debate. I always tell people, like even some of the medical doctors, like, great, let's debate. And they refuse to. So I see it on both sides. But and the other aspect too is if you have someone who's really, really struggling with, you know, with nutrition and you start telling them all of these things, the only thing that you do is you really stress them out and you do give them unnecessary food fear that can be extremely detrimental, especially if you see someone who potentially could be teetering on having, anorexia or bulimia or something like that, you know. Women are more like rule followers and they'll stress out about food more than anything else. With guys are like, hey, you know, eat this, don't eat this. They're like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then you say, tell a woman, hey, here's what you should be focused on. Sometimes they'll try to find problems with, you know, like all the different things. They come up with 19 different scenarios. That's where it can get very cloudy. I know.
Yeah. It's hard because again, like I do believe, like, for example, when people talk about sugar or, you know, like watching added sugar and stuff, I'm like, that is a great, like, yes, I approve that. But like, not when we are literally, for example, there's Once Upon a Farm, there's these little pouches that I give my daughter's turning 2 at the time of this recording. And there's no added sugar. And it's just literally blended fruit. And of course, like Jennifer Garner, like an actress, like makes a food supplement line for babies, but sure.
Yeah.
And I saw this, you know, pretty girl in the grocery store with her little crop top being like, I can't believe you're giving your kids 9 grams of sugar. And I'm like, first of all, one, shut the F up. 2, wait till you have a kid. 3, yes. It is literally fruit blended in. There's no added sugar. So it's like, I mean, who are you to say that and scare these mothers? And this is why I have a problem with it, is because it all starts in the home. So when you put it in the mom's head, it gets passed on to the children. And that's how we all grew up with, you can't get up until you clean your plate. You can't have dessert till you have this, or it becomes habitual where have a snack after this. And it's like, we lose that connection to our hunger and fullness cue. So as a parent, as a clinician, what do you say to these, you know, probably mostly moms are listening right now. What can they do to support their own health goals while still fostering a healthy relationship with food for their kids?
Oh, Well, the first thing I tell people, because I do see, we do see a lot of type 2 diabetics. And you know, there, and we'll even see diabetics in I mean, their insulin levels are at 900. They're on so much insulin. Like they're at the point they're injecting insulin because their pancreas can't keep up anymore. This is what I tell them. We will put them on a very strict diet. I will restrict fruit to them. I will restrict grains. I will restrict, I'm like, meat and veggies only, high amounts of fiber. And a lot of it's very testing specific. But then I also tell them this, you didn't get diabetes because you ate fruit. You know, you really didn't. So no one gets diabetes because they ate too much fruit. I want people to know that.
Maybe, another Twitter quote.
Yeah. Fruit juice, maybe, you know, without the pulp. But if you are concerned about giving your child some kind of fruit puree or and having 9 grams of sugar, just remember this. That's not our problem. That's not our main problem in the United States. I'll tell you what the main problem is. And it was my problem growing up. I just hit it because I played sports and I was very active. It was me, you know, drinking 6 cans of Mountain Dew every day. Yeah. It was me eating Little Debbie snack cakes every day and a bag of Doritos. You know, that was literally, and you have to remember, I was so sick as a child. No one drew any connection between what I was eating and what was happening with my inflammatory levels, my immune system and things like that. So to moms, the first thing that I always tell moms, I tell them this, you know what, mom, you're doing better than you think you are.
Yeah.
If you're worried about it, I guarantee you're doing better than you think you are. And so if you're worried about something that's got 9 grams of sugar in it, that's natural and that's coming from fruit, then please don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's easier. I mean, I guess it's easier said than done. And I can see why it gets propagated on social media. You know, there's certain influencers like, I don't know, the Bobby guy, you know, or something. And you know, he's talking, it's got 2 grams of sugar. You don't want to do it. Well, the reality is your body does need sugar. You know, and
energy.
I tell people, well, you do need sugar. You also don't need 800 grams of sugar a day. But if you were getting it from fruit and veggies, it's very hard. It's very hard to overeat.
Yeah. Like when people are like nervous about carrots or like I have a diabetic, you know, client who's like, please stop putting bananas on my like the ideas for her. And I'm like, no, I'm going to keep putting bananas because you can eat bananas as a diabetic. Do you want to eat 10 of them by themselves? No.
Yeah. A lot of it too, especially when you're starting with type 2 diabetes is if you can get them out of the junk, if you can get them out of the junk and if you can at least get them moving 5,000 steps a day, moving them into doing, like, here's what's so interesting is they've shown that literally 2 to 3 minutes of high intensity exercise, 3 times a week can dramatically affect insulin sensitivity. I'm like, can you do it for 2 to 3 minutes?
And that's all it takes. And like people are like, oh, I didn't work out for 60 minutes. I'm like, you could have literally ran and walked. Yeah. Like it's that simple. I mean, it's not that simple, but it can be that simple.
Well, I've wrote 4,000 workouts, I think, because I used to program for our CrossFit gyms. I mean, literally 6 days a week for 5 years, I was writing programming, you know, and so we have a huge test group. I mean, like we would have 100 people in a day that were doing workouts. So I would like, that didn't work, that did work. And, you know, but we've done so many pre and post tests of getting people from type 2 diabetes to not being diabetic anymore. You know, we've taken people from 8 medications down to 0. And they're like, what's the protocol? I'm like, there's no protocol other than doing the right things. And most importantly, that person not giving up.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't happen in 2 months. It, you know, for some of these people, 12 to 18 months it took for them in order to get that result that they were wanting. So yeah, I think there's a lot of social media has definitely made it worse because you have one camp, you have the other camp, And then you have something in the middle, and people get confused. And when people are confused, people don't make decisions.
they
sit and they're like, I'm confused and I don't know where I should go with this. And so it just leads to a lot of people being paralyzed.
Well, that also leads to us needing to be louder, I guess. So,
well, I can do it as long as I don't get banned. That's the thing. So,
well, we will make sure we're going to link to all of the active channels that you have. So don't worry about that. But I did want to ask you one more question.
Sure.
Since we're going to need like 10 more episodes together to actually talk about all the real things that I want to talk. I feel like I could talk to you forever. But so I wanted to know, what is one time when a door closed on you and then another one opened where you took that opportunity that can inspire those listening to that feeling when that door closes, it's okay. Mm. And that you were able to go in the other direction and become stronger because of it.
Does this have to be health related?
Or no, this podcast is about entrepreneurship, health, motherhood, life, like all of the things.
Oh man, this is going to make me feel very vulnerable,
but
I'm here for it. What was so interesting is, you know, I always say, like, we make plans, God laughs at us, you know? So I remember I was getting ready to graduate from chiropractic school. I had all the plans laid out. I was going to go to, I was going to practice in Wichita, Kansas. Wichita. In the middle of nowhere, I literally was getting ready to go literally the day after I graduated, had everything all packed up, apartment and everything. And on my graduation day, that plan completely collapsed and fell apart. And I'd been working on this plan for about a year and a half. So it fell apart literally in a matter of an instant. And I had absolutely no other backup plan, no other place to go to, no other place to turn. And I was just absolutely devastated. So I the only thing I could do is I had to go back home. I had to move in with my parents at 26 years of age and be like, hey, I'm heading out. And they're like, are you going to be home for dinner? I'm like, I'm 26. What? And so I was deeply depressed. I really was. And like 3 months went by and I'm still kind of like sitting on the couch not doing anything. And my parents are like, you know, you probably should do something. I'm like, yeah. And, you know, I probably should. And they're like, well, we talked to the neighbor and he's willing to give you a job as a construction worker. I'm like, what? I'm like, well, I don't have any other plans. So, okay, I'll be a construction worker. So for 9 months, I worked building houses.
What?
And the joke was, they're like, hey, hand me the hammer, doctor.
That is.
And it was so humbling, but I had no other plans to do. But soon, like after that, the things started to fall into place and I was able to actually stay near the town that I grew up in. And I opened a practice in Yorkville, Illinois. It took a year longer than what I had anticipated. And so during that time I was building houses and it was very humbling, you know, to do that. And, you know, I thought everything had fallen apart, but when it did fall apart, I went through some depression. And as soon as I decided to pull myself out of it, I met a woman who became my wife literally within a week. And then everything started to fall back into place saying, hey, here's an office that you can build and you can start from scratch. You can start your own office. And we were able to get the funding to do that. And they're like, well, why did everything fall into place? And I was like, because I decided to look and start to think differently. So we miss so many opportunities because of our thinking, you know? And I tell people, it's like, hey, what car do you want? They're like, oh, I really like the Tesla, you know, this. I'm like, do you see it on the road? And they're like, all the time. And I'm like, I never see Teslas because I don't want one. And I'm like, the reason why you see it is because your brain wants it. And you will start seeing opportunity once you start seeing yourself as you want to become. And it's not like some kind of new age type of stuff. It's neurology. Your brain looks for things that it wants. It looks for opportunities as soon as you give yourself, your brain permission to start looking for it. So if you want to be negative, then you'll stub your toe. And then you're like, this day is going to really just suck. And the rest of your day sucks because you look for validation with it. I say, this is going to be a great day. And now your brain starts looking for things in order to reaffirm that. So until I pulled myself out of my self-loathing and my self-pity, and I started looking for opportunities, then they were already there. And it was just a matter of me just changing my perspective.
And you thought that didn't have to do with health? I mean, that's like literally.
That's kind of how I got, started. And I'd never forgiven those people for telling me, hey, doctor, pass me a hammer. houses that I did build, they are in fact still standing.
I was just going to say, are they there? I feel like it's like, you know, when you see your childhood home, you're like, hey, I used to live there. You're like, I put a nail there.
Yeah, I kind of built it, but not that well. Yeah.
Well, so I'm glad it's still standing. Oh, this is amazing. I cannot wait till we continue this. So please tell everyone all of the active social media channels that you're not banned on, or the ones that you are almost banned on. And hopefully by the time that this airs, that you're still there.
Well, you can find on Instagram. It's just at Dr. Nathan Thompson, Dr. Nathan Thompson. Same thing with YouTube. Same thing with Rumble. I can't believe you didn't know the Rumble platform. It's awesome.
And I'm a millennial. Like, this is weird.
Yeah. Rumble, Rumble. It's like YouTube at Dr. Nathan Thompson. We're Dr. Nathan Thompson on Facebook. And I don't know TikTok. It used to be Dr. Nathan Thompson. Now I think it's Nathan Thompson DC or something like that, because that I got banned at like 150,000. So now we're back on it. We're trying to build it back up. But honestly, if you're on Instagram, all the videos that are on TikTok are also on Instagram as well. Instagram's probably the place to go.
Bring him back. Bring him. I'm gonna like start. No, I feel the same way. It's ever changing, but we will make sure that we link it in the show notes so everyone will be able to find you. And it's such an honor to talk to somebody who is just honest about like the medical and health space, and especially, you know, being a doctor and coming from that background and saying, hey, there are holes in this system. Like, and mm-hmm. I've talked to so many of my friends who are also doctors who are just like, I got a 30-minute, you know, presentation on nutrition during my whole residency. So
yeah,
it's crazy.
It is. And I'm an equal opportunity offender. I see problems in medicine. I see problems in chiropractic. I see problems in naturopathy. I see problems in just with a lot of things. It's just, I see the problems and I'm like, hey, how can we make it better? Because if you never see the problem, you know, how do you grow unless you first see that it needs to be better?
We always, as a human race, we need to strive to do better. We don't want to be, you know, complacent. And I love that you're just always, always focusing on not only just internally what's going on in the human body, but also between the ears. So I appreciate you.
Yep. I think that's probably the most important part. Always. Being a psychologist first.
It's crazy. Well, I'm so grateful. And until next time, thank you for tuning in and we will see you next week. Wow. Am I right when I told you in the beginning that this was going to be such a good episode? I learned so much. And so I wanted to recap again, like the main point that we want you to get from this episode is that when it comes to building a habit, it takes time. It takes consistency. And when you are there again, when you are at like that final step and you give up, that is when it is the most important to use your thoughts to push through. So I hope you see that, first of all, you don't have to go cold turkey like he and I have. And I think the reason why we both hit rock bottom is because we were just on the complete opposite side. So if you are sitting here and you're like, oh my gosh, like this hit home, I'm never able to actually follow through with my habits, today is the day that you make a change. So I want you to think about what is that one thing that you keep telling yourself, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. It's going to be different. I'll start on Monday. And then when that time comes, kind of like what he said, where it's like 5:30, his alarm went off and he's like, yeah, no, never mind. I'm going to sleep in. I want you to commit today. I want you to commit and think about, is it eating one vegetable? Is it about having, you know, your orange juice watered down with a little bit, you know, of water, so it's not just pure sugar? Is it going for a 2-minute run like he was talking about? I want you to commit today to yourself. How are you going to start to change that bad habit and turn it into a helpful one? Or how are you actually going to follow through with going forward with this good habit? And you are feeling stuck on, I keep doing this to myself and I self-sabotage and I never follow through. Please, 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 I want you to apply to Mindful Weight Loss Academy. This is where I, and hence why it's called Mindful Weight Loss Academy, I really focus on reprogramming your mindset. It really gets into the subconscious and we understand what are these unhelpful habits that we need to turn into helpful habits that actually support you in your weight loss journey. So I am so excited that you got to take a listen to this episode, and I promise I'll definitely be having him on again. And if you have not watched any of his stuff on Instagram or Rumble, which I definitely didn't even know, so I'm probably going to get so many messages and be like, Jackie, you didn't know what Rumble was? No, I did not know what it was until now. And so I want you to take a listen because a lot of his stuff is really, again, just like honest, honest feedback. And that's what I give to my clients. That is, they call it tough Jackie love. So it is so important. Like he talked about having that support, having a community. And really when it comes to being successful on your journey, it's about the consistency. It's about sticking through. So your homework is to send me a DM on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist. You know where to find me. I want you to send me, what is the one change that you are going to make so you can actually follow through with this healthy habit that you have been dying to build? You've been dying to actually follow through. I really want to hold your hand and I want to support you with this. So if this resonated with you, please, please, please send me a message and let me know. I want to, again, I really, really, really want you to have 2024 be the year where you're not going to start this over every freaking Monday. So I am so excited to connect with you on Instagram. And again, if any of this resonated with you and you're like, I want that accountability, I want that coaching, I want that guidance, apply to Mindful Weight Loss Academy. The link is below in the show notes. And I would love to chat with you about your goals. So again, we can look at the bio-individuality of you. Again, not everybody needs the same thing. Just like what Dr. Nathan was talking about, every single person is different. You are different. And let me help you. Let me support you. And let me hold your hand. Oh, such a good conversation. Please let me know how you enjoyed this. And I am so excited to have him back on at some point, I promise. And I will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation just as much as I did. As always, anything mentioned, any links, any notes will all be linked on our website, mindfulnutritionistshow.com. Just head on over there to take a look. And if you haven't connected with me yet personally, I would love to meet you. Come and find me on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist and please DM me. Let me know if you listened to the episode and what you thought. I seriously love hearing from you. Or come to the Mindful Nutritionist Show Facebook page and say hi. I would love to connect with you there. Thanks so much for being here and for being so amazing. I can't wait to chat next time.